This is the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.
Welcome to the Arab Daily News Podcast. I'm Rehan Ania, and I have a great guest that I met a long time ago. She has so much activism and energy. She is also the only non-Arab writer at our website at the Arab Daily News. Online at thearabdailynews.com. Her name's Eileen Fleming. Now, if you haven't heard about her, you're probably buried under some kind of rock or something, because Eileen is very active on the internet. She does so much great writing. Eileen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, you ran just a little preliminary, because this is the first time we've done the interview, but tell us a little bit about who you are. Give us a little rundown about who Eileen Fleming is.
Yeah, well, pre and post 9/11. So pre 9/11, I was your typically uninformed, misinformed, comfortably numb American. And 9/11 happened, and when Bush went on TV and told me to go shop if I wanted to help, I went ballistic. I did not react with fear, but curiosity. I want to understand, you know, this situation. And I went online. And one thing led to another. Because I'm a Christian that follows and loves the nonviolent Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Right.
You know, promise it's the peacemakers.
Same with me.
Not the peace talkers, it's the peacemakers who are the children of God.
Absolutely.
And I was looking for something positive to do, because that is also my faith. You know, the only way to break this cycle of violence, you just got to break it.
So you hear George Bush tell you, President Bush at the time, go out, the best way to fight the terrorists and the evildoers is to go out and shop and be normal, right? And what did you do?
Yeah, what he said was, it was, I think, like the first conference he gave after 9/11, and he told us, you know, they hate us because of our freedoms, and if you want to help, go shop. In other words, to stay, you know, mindless consumerism. But I connected with a nonprofit that had been founded by a 1948 Palestinian Muslim refugee from the Upper Galilee, Dr. Diab, and he founded the Olive Tree Foundation for Peace in Orlando as a positive response to raise funds and awareness about the wall. And before the foundation disbanded, we had raised funds to plant, to provide the three-year-old saplings for 40,000 of them that were planted on both sides of the wall.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I went there the first time. Dr. Diab brought, I think, 10 of us over. We went. And I could not believe what I did not know. I had been researching, but my first trip through that wall to the little town of Bethlehem, seeing that wall, what it's done to the economy, seeing what it does to your spirit, and those, you know, I've been back 8 times now. My last trip was in November. And I think every American who goes over there really does need to walk through the terminals, through the checkpoints.
So after September 11th, here you are, a typical American. You're motivated by President Bush to go out, and it piques your interest to find out what's going on, that, you know, they've been told all these nasty things about all these people. And you end up visiting Palestine 8 times? That's more than some Palestinians have visited, or Arabs.
Well, not only that, some of the Palestinians, you know, that I know in Jerusalem, that, you know, I've been to more places through the West Bank than they have.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and obviously, because, you know, the Israelis restrict, you know, our access and freedoms over there. But it's an amazing thing. And you didn't just hesitate. You jumped into this pool head first, and you've gone into it 100%. You're probably one of the most prolific writers I've met when it comes to issues involving Palestinian rights, Israeli rights, and you've become very identified with the issue of Mordecai Vanunu. Now, first of all, tell us who he is, and second, how you got involved with him.
Yeah.
Why did he become such a big story for you?
Sure. Well, first, I always have to reiterate, I am not now, nor have I ever been, Vanunu's spokesperson.
Right.
But I have spoken out for Vanunu since 2005, my first trip, June of 2005. And I came back home and I founded WeAreWideAwake.org. I was not a reporter. I was researching for my first book based on Dr. Diab's memories. And in the midst of writing this book, I found out the incredible story of Mordecai Vanunu, who was born in Morocco in 1954. The Zionists came to his hometown and convinced his father to pack up the family and move to the land of milk and honey, and they were consigned to the ethnically Palestinian village of Beersheba, one of over 500 that had been wiped off the map since Israel was founded in 48.
Right.
And Vanunu said that he would wander around. You know, he's like 9 years old here, and he'd wandered around, and he'd see all these mosques, but he never met a Palestinian. As a human, you know, he never saw any Palestinians there, Beersheba, but when he had to go, it's conscription service, so of course he, you know, encountered Palestinians, you know, in the occupied territories, but not until he went to university, and he was working on the night shift at Dimona, which is Israel's nuclear weapons facility, in the Negev. And while there at university, he starts to engage with Palestinians as humans and gets involved in Palestinian, you know, human rights issues and gets called in by security at the Dimona and warned he better stop. And of course he doesn't. And one thing leads to another. And because he was a good worker, Vanunu was a very good worker, he was cross-trained, in various, you know, departments. And he had already decided when he realized it was not a textile plant, as the sign outside said.
Right.
He realized he was a cog in manufacturing weapons of mass destruction. He smuggled in a camera and then filmed on separate occasions, stowed them in his locker room, and one evening the supervisor left the keys to all the top secret locales in the shower room. Vanunu seizes the opportunity, spends a couple of very intense hours taking the 56 photos, which to this day the London Sunday Times still holds. And he almost got caught, but I won't go into too much detail.
He basically exposes the fact that Israel has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, he did. And what happened is he did not develop that film. He smuggles it out, and he quits. He leaves Israel. He's traveling around Europe for 10 months about.
Right.
He wanders into a social justice church in Sydney, Australia. This guy had gone from being an Orthodox, you know, grown up in an Orthodox Zionist family, an atheist, agnostic, thought about being, you know, a Buddhist, and he ends up now, just really matter of fact, days before he's kidnapped by the Mossad, I'm getting so ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So he's
up. Yeah. So anyway,
they grab him.
Before they grab him, he still has this undeveloped film, and he starts talking to these people at the church, shares his story about the nukes, decides to get baptized a Christian. And in the interim, a painter who was painting the church, who also claimed to be a journalist, managed to convince Vanunu he would help him get his story out. Vanunu did not want to make any money on it. He wanted to get the story out. This other guy wanted to make some money. He takes the story, as far as, you know, what he knew,
right,
to London, and he you know, shops it around, and the London Sunday Times decides to send Peter Hunam, an investigative journalist, back to Sydney to meet Vanunu. Peter decides Vanunu can, you know, knows what he's talking about. They develop the film, and then they both fly back to London. So the London Sunday Times hires Frank Barnaby, a nuclear physicist, to vet the story, and he spends 2-3 days with Vanunu questioning him, and he wrote a book about it, everything that, you know, Vanunu knew about Israel's manufacturing facility back in 1985. He told Frank Barnaby, it's published.
Right.
And Frank Barnaby said, you know, Vanunu acts on ideological grounds, not to harm Israel, but, you know,
right,
really.
He just believes in principle that it's wrong to lie,
yes,
and say that we don't have nuclear weapons when everybody in the,
yes,
world knows he has nuclear weapons. When did they kidnap him?
okay, so here's what happens. He's in London. He's getting bored. They, you know, are vetting the story very slowly. He wanders out. He meets who he thinks is an American on holiday, and it turns out she's a Mossad agent using her sister-in-law's passport and identity as a beautician. So she's Cheryl Hannon, and she's using her sister-in-law Cindy passport. Anyway, so Venunu, he is does not know this, of course. They're just hanging out,
right.
And in the interim, that journalist, that shady guy, the house painter journalist,
right.
He had somehow managed to steal a couple of Venunu's Damona photos, unbeknownst to Venunu, of course,
right.
Get to the Daily Mirror, I think. It's like a tabloid, like we have the National Enquirer.
Right.
They've got that. They do not interview Venunu, never speak to him, but publish a picture of Venunu and, I believe, some of these photos and a very bad story about Venunu. Venunu panics. He tells Cindy Cheryl, and she says, oh, listen, I've got a sister in Rome. You can hang out there until this, you know, dies down. You know, and Venunu's in a panic. He's feared for his life, so he takes off. And the second he walks into the apartment, he's hit on the head, drugged, bound, and flung onto a cargo ship or a small yacht heading back to Israel. And Venunu says the next thing he remembers is waking up and being brought into this interrogation room, and they fling the Sunday Times in front of him, and they say, look what you've done. And Venunu said he had never felt such relief in his life, because he didn't think the Sunday Times was going to publish, you know, after he disappeared.
That's funny.
You know, in that story. So,
wow.
And why they didn't just throw this guy overboard,
right.
And that would have been the end of it, too. But they didn't.
Right.
And it's vindictiveness. And the whole reason I have became a reporter was because I was very interested when I met Venunu there my first time. He's got a fascinating, you know, history and his spiritual struggle, all that. But when he told me that when Kennedy tried to get Ben-Gurion to open up the Damona, and Prime Minister said, oh, it's only for peace.
Right.
Then when LBJ became president, he would send two senators every year, and before they would get there, the Israelis would board up the stairwells and the elevators, so
they
nobody had any idea what
right.
was going on.
They disguise it to lie to the U.S. Congress the way Israel
yes.
has been doing ever since 1948. They've been
yes.
doing it
yes.
from the beginning. So
yes.
he was a great danger to Israel because he would expose their lies in that sense. Not that he was a physical danger to Israel.
Right.
He wasn't a terrorist. He was just trying to get the truth out. And just to let me remind our listeners, we're talking with Eileen Fleming. She's a writer, and as she mentioned earlier, after 2001, she followed President Bush's advice and decided to open up her eyes and see what was going on for herself. And in investigating, she realized that we've been lied to by the Israelis, by the pro-Israel lobby. She meets this guy, Venunu, who is a whistleblower to expose Israel's weapons of mass destruction program. The largest nuclear program in the Middle East is in the Damona in the Negev Desert. And by the way, Eileen, you've written several books, a lot of it about your experience with Venunu. One of them, I think, is called Beyond Nuclear, Mordecai Venunu's Freedom of Speech Trial. Another one, I think, is, which I love, Memoirs of a Nice Irish-American Girl's Life in the Occupied Territories, The Third Intifada Uprising, Nonviolent But with Words, Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, and another book called Keep Hope Alive and Historical Fact-Filled Fiction. Eileen, it's just this is an amazing story. So, this has been a struggle, hasn't it? I mean, is it just overwhelming that people don't want to, you know, why don't Americans identify? They talk so much about Jonathan Pollard, who was an American who betrayed America as a spy for Israel, but nobody really talks that much about Venunu.
Yes, I know, and this is our occupied media. And I'll quote from my second, third book, whatever it is, Vanunu's Freedom of Speech: Trial of My Life as a Muckraker. And Yuri Avneri wrote, and this is three. Address this right now. This April 21st marks exactly 10 years since Vanunu emerged from 18 years behind bars.
For how many years?
18 years.
He was, 18 so they years. Grab him, they kidnap him, kidnap they put him in jail for 18 years in the Israeli gulag, and then he emerges 10 years ago, and they're still harassing him till this day, aren't they?
And this is why. Yuri Avneri wrote it in 3 days after Vanunu got out of prison. He said, everybody understands that Vanunu has no more secrets. But it's the John Bolton, in fact, went over there and told Israel to keep him on a short leash. And Avneri says, the world must be prevented by all available means from hearing from the lips of a credible witness that the Americans are full partners in Israel's nuclear arms program while pretending to be the sheriff for the prevention of nuclear proliferation.
So this is dangerous because here we are yelling about Iran's nuclear weapons, about how this is a danger, and yet it turns out we've been 100% neck deep in Israel's secret nuclear program and the kidnapping of people just to keep it quiet. I mean, it's just outrageous.
It is outrageous, but even more outrageous is Mr. Nuclear Free World, President Obama, you know, Nobel Prize laureate.
Yeah, right.
On October 2nd, 2009, the Washington Times reported Obama agreed to keep Israel's nukes secret and reaffirmed a four-decade-old understanding that has allowed Israel to keep its nuclear arsenal without opening it to international inspection. So it's not just Israel's nuclear ambiguity. I call it nuclear deception. It's a U.S. policy. You know, just as it is U.S. policy that is continuing these peace talks that will continue to further the pieces of Palestine being wiped off the map. The problem is, and I guess what keeps me motivated and driven, of course, it's a God thing for me. This is totally a God trip that I've been on here, because it's, what can you do? When you know the truth, all you can do is speak. It works my only weapon, and I try to get through and engage with my government all the time. I'm on Facebook now, on their U.S. Department of State engagement community on foreign affairs. I've called them. I've emailed the State Department. They don't find me.
Of course not, because you are doing exactly what President Bush asked Americans to do.
Bush said go shopping if you wanted to help. No. Bush wanted Americans to wake up and stay awake and find out why we've got such, you know, so many enemies in this world.
He wanted Americans to be Stepford wives. He just wanted us to all be robots. Go shop. Don't ask any questions. You know, just go enjoy yourself. But you were provoked to actually not just shop, but you wanted to find out what the heck was going on. What is Vanunu's status today? Is he still a prisoner? Is he in jail?
He's okay. Listen, here's the thing. When they let him out in 2004, they forbid him to have a cell phone, internet, you know, all this stuff. He's got his own website, which is vanunu.com. And he's got his own YouTube channel, Mordecai Vanunu.
Right.
And I encourage people to go to Vanunu.com, and then I encourage people to go to his YouTube channel, and you can go to his discussion page. He's Vanunu Mordecai. That's his YouTube name, Vanunu Mordecai. You can leave him messages. If he posts them, then you know he's read them.
Right.
And he's not talking, but he's been posting. I've been keeping him informed on my actions. And again, I say I've never been the Vanunu spokesperson, and I've always acted independently, driven, not for his sake, it's a human rights issue, but because I want to end U.S. collusion and Israel's nuclear deceptions. I say it's our policies that are endangering this homeland, and as an American and a global citizen, I mean, it's my responsibility. I pay taxes. It's my responsibility to speak up and dissent from my government when I disagree.
And Vanunu on his webpage, vanunu.com, V-A-N-U-N-U.com, he writes, the only thing I can say is that 26 years to wait for my freedom is a long, long time for all the world, states, communities to do for my freedom. This is really a tragedy. This guy is, I mean, when you think of the, you know, the prisoners that were, you know, incarcerated by the Soviet Union and Stalin in the archipelago of, you know, the Soviet gulag, Israel's gulag and prison system is just as bad. I mean, well, this guy has no freedom.
Yeah. In fact, when his first 18 years, most of it, the 11 and a half, was in solitary. But then when they let him engage with the rest of the prison population, it was only the most hardened of criminals who spent most of their time just antagonizing him, annoying him,
right.
You know, trying to get him to erupt, and he's totally nonviolent. So they let him out. In 2004, he immediately begins talking to anybody. You know, he gave over 100 interviews.
Right.
Any good was the only U.S. media, and she totally dropped it. Now, and I go into detail on my issue with Amy Goodman. I won't get sidetracked here now,
right.
But people are interested in that.
It's in
My Life as a Muckraker book about his freedom of speech trial. And now I lost my train of thought. Oh, dang.
No, that you were talking about how he starts talking once he's free.
Oh, yeah. So Israel knew, you know, because they put all these restrictions on him, these insane restrictions. They knew he was going to talk. So in 2006, they bring charges against him for all the interviews he gave, you know, from 2004 through 2005. I show up, you know, in June of 2005. They already started, you know, these proceedings against him, which was their plan all along. They
right.
knew he was going to talk, so they put him through this monkey try, whatever it is.
Right.
And they end up in 2010 putting this guy back in solitary confinement, 78 days. It was a 90-day sentence, 78 days. But again, in the most horrible of you know, maximum prison, you know, just to put him back into those 18 years in his
right.
life. You know, everything is designed to just drive him nuts and make him angry. And he, you know, I saw him last in November, and I could not believe this guy's resilience. I mean, and in fact, you know, he doesn't smile a lot. So
yeah.
It's a big deal when he does. So when I snapped that last picture of him that we're using for the poster,
right.
You know, we are not free, you know, until Vanunu is free.
Right.
I went with the smiling picture because he doesn't have a lot to smile about, but
right.
yet after all he's been through, yes, he still can smile, and he still has faith and believes that they're going to let him go, and he's done everything. He's acquiesced to them. He's not talking. He's not doing anything. So it's up to people in the free world to speak up and out for him and put the pressure on. And you know, and the media is you know, a big issue, a big problem, not reporting.
Right. The media, listen, the media in America is in a Israeli headlock.
Yeah.
They're biased either because they're bigoted or they're biased because they're fearful or they're biased because of political influence and restrictions. They're not allowed to report the truth. What's amazing to me, and we only have a few more minutes left, but what's amazing to me, Eileen, is how is it that an American, Christian American like you, and I'm not saying there's a difference between Christians, Muslims, and Jews, but America is a Christian country. How is it that, and they use that to get Christians to fear Arabs and Muslims? How is it that
the thing is, the West, and this is what Palestinian Christians say to me, they don't understand the Western Christians.
Well,
you know, they don't get it, because they don't know they don't know their own religion is the thing. They don't know
exactly.
The Sermon on the Mount.
They have no idea. They have pictures of Bethlehem on their wall. While Bethlehem is, the real Bethlehem is under siege, and they don't care, and you have to wonder what kind of Christian would stay silent like that. But how is it that a Christian American, Irish American Christian like you can be so moved to see the truth? What prevents other American Christians from recognizing the truth too and seeing Israel, what it's really doing? You know, I'm not saying that people should be to hate Israel. I'm saying that people should see the corruption of Israel and fight to change it.
Yes. In fact, if we really are a friend, we tell our friends the truth. And
yes.
Jonathan I'm going to say this guy's name wrong, but he's a nephew of Netanyahu, and he went to jail for 18 months instead of doing his conscription service because he did not, you know, he was not going to be a part of the occupation anymore than, you know, he's through seeing it. And he said, if Americans truly are our friends, they will take away the keys because we're driving drunk and we're going to find ourselves in a ditch.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Here's Netanyahu's nephew asking us to do it. You know, and if Christians really understood their faith, they would be peacemakers. They would be doing all they can for the oppressed. You know, I mean, that's supposed to be the faith. But, you know, look at Chris Christie, right?
Yep.
You know, he had it halfway right when he said, you know, the occupied territories. It's the occupied state of Palestine is what it is.
It's the whole thing.
Territories. It's the occupied state of Palestine. And yay, finally, let's get going on an international intervention. And you know, that's what needs to be doing. America's never been an honest broker for a just peace there.
Eileen Fleming is my guest. Her website is eileenfleming.org. She has another website which you have to visit called weareWideAwake.org. I'd also urge you to go and read up on Mordecai Vanunu's story on his website, in addition to all of Eileen's websites, and his website is vanunu.com. This is the Arab Daily News. Eileen, any final thoughts, anything that you want to say? I mean, we could do this for hours because the tragedy of Mordecai Vanunu is such a stark story that contrasts the lies that are spread by Israel, that it deserves far more time than we're able to give it. But any final comments or thoughts before we say thank you?
Yes, and thank you. Even though April 21 marks 10 days since he walked out of jail, the restrictions that are currently he's under will expire on May 18th. So the more pressure, the more, you know, shining a light there and people engaging, you know, contacting Vanunu and writing him, calling him, you know, Vanunu.com.
So he's been released. He is released now?
Yeah. He's been walking around East Jerusalem for like 10 years. So you're just waiting to get on the first plane out of there.
Why can't he leave?
They will not give him a visa. They will not. He's not allowed to approach an embassy.
So he's not allowed to have any. They do have a lot of restrictions on him, in other words.
Yes, but he's meeting people. In fact, if you go on Vanunu.com, you read the little blurb about 26 years. That's an old message. He doesn't update his website very often. But he did write May 28, 2013.
Right.
He is now visiting with foreigners, so he's ready. He's meeting anybody. If you're in East Jerusalem.
Isn't he afraid that they're going to put him back in jail?
Well, for what? They've already put him back in jail. And you know, it even came out in court many years ago. They don't even care that he talks to foreigners, as long as he doesn't talk about nuclear weapons. And he doesn't have to, because he told Frank Barnaby everything he knew.
He doesn't need to talk, because if he were to repeat it, you're saying they would throw him back in jail.
No. I think what they want to do is just make him miserable, and you know, they've got no reason to put him back in jail. They've got nothing there. Not that they did anyway. But when I saw him in November, he told me that a CNN reporter had recently asked him for an interview, but he told him no because everything's on the internet. And we had other conversations about other things, and, you know, Vanunu didn't say this outright, but my impression is Vanunu is just ready. He would get on the first plane out to anywhere. He would leave his phone, his computer. He would leave everything, walk away from it, and probably fall off the grid just so he could go and have a life. It's been 28 years now since he's had any privacy.
Does he have any real freedom now at all?
Only that he can speak, you know, and he does. He speaks to anybody that, you know, he feels like it, and he walks around. And in fact, you know, when I was there in November, I went on his short walk through Jerusalem, which was like 4 hours, and nonstop. And, you know, so he's very accessible. People can call him, email him, vanunu.com, go to his YouTube, Vanunu Mordecai, and that's what I say is the best thing for people to do, to make as much contact with them, because the longer Israel holds them, the greater the legend is growing, and that's basically all we can really do, keep the light on.
Eileen, thank you so much. My guest is Eileen Fleming. Eileen, we enjoy talking with you. I hope everybody out there will take the time to visit the ArabDailyNews.com, one of the places where Eileen writes, and read up on her updates on Vanunu and this very important topic of the real story of nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, in Israel. Eileen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ray. Everything.
This has been the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.